Well, good morning. Why don't we turn to the sixth book of the Bible called Joshua? We're going to be camped there this morning. And we are starting a brand new sermon series in this mighty book called Joshua. So, as you're turning there in your Bible or getting there on your phone, let me start off with this question for you to ponder and answer in your own head. What keeps you going? What is your motivation to keep doing what you are doing? What keeps you moving on your journey? Do you keep moving forward for your loved ones? Do you keep moving forward for your family? Do you keep staying on the journey for your own personal goals that you've set for yourself in your life? What really keeps you going each and every day? Well, I want to say something here. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've surrendered your life to Him, then that makes us believers. And as believers, we should always be progressing on our spiritual journey towards Christ. However, many times we stop short in receiving what God has for us. And the book of Joshua talks about this. The book of Joshua continues the story here of God's people, the Israelites, stopping short over and over again on their journey. In their disobedience, they have been wandering in the wilderness instead of staying on the journey and receiving what God had promised to them. And it's easy to hear that and think about that now and say, well, yeah, that was terrible. I would have never done that. How disobedient of them. Maybe let's think again on that. We often do the same thing in our own lives, don't we? When we stop short on our faith journey, it's often the result of holding on to some type of sin that we don't want to let go of. Or it's refusing to follow God's direction on a certain matter in our life. For Joshua, we see that his motivation to keep moving forward was his belief that God was going to keep his promises no matter what. No matter what. Now, can you imagine with me for a second, though, how Joshua would have felt at first, though, about this? Joshua was following in Moses' footsteps. Joshua was following Moses as God's official servant. And the text we're about to read starts in a very interesting way. So let's look at Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be starting with verse 1. Joshua 1, verse 1. Says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land that I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. God said to Joshua, Moses is dead. And that sounds like really bad news, doesn't it? What are the people going to do now? Moses was their ultimate leader. Moses confronted Pharaoh. Moses called down the plagues. He parted the Red Sea. He met God at Mount Sinai. He led the people through the wilderness all those years. And now he's dead. What are we going to do now? Moses is dead. Who's going to lead us? Moses is dead. We might as well go back to Egypt and go back into captivity, where we were at least safe. But I want us to notice something here. The book of Joshua, starting out like this, shows us all that God's workers change, but God's work goes on. Moses didn't accomplish these things. It was God flowing through Moses. You know, in sports, a coach will always have to say during a game or a match or a season, next person up. It's next person up. Well, what does that mean? That means we have to be ready at all times, because we never know when our name is going to be called to step up. Because if someone has another assignment to accomplish, or if someone is injured, or if someone just leaves for whatever reason, it's next person up. Joshua was God's next person up. Now, Joshua and the people already knew that Moses had died. So why was God telling them this again? I believe God was asking them to ponder a bigger question by mentioning this. And the question was this: can God be trusted when things don't turn out the way we had planned? Can God be trusted when things don't go the way we had wanted them and prayed them to go? We all have to face that question sooner or later. You know, I remember a conversation I had with my wife almost 5 years ago now, and the conversation took place shortly before I left my teaching job. I had been teaching to close to 20 years in Chicago and then in Ogle County, and I taught special education to at-risk students, and all my students were at risk of going to jail or going back to jail. That was the population I had. And I viewed my job as my ministry to the Lord. And through the Holy Spirit's power, I constantly was speaking and guiding and turning young men and women on to Christ. But it was evident that God was calling me to a different ministry situation. God was asking me to work in His church full time. And I remember thinking about this and feeling really out of place at first. I was fearful of what might happen, that I have what it took to do the job. And then one day I was opening up to my wife about this, and she said to me, "Nicholas," now she's the only one who calls me Nicholas. She said, "Nicholas, don't worry about anything. God's got you. Just go out there and put your whole heart and soul into serving Christ the same way you do now. God has this for you now. God has a new thing for you now." And then I'll never forget, Chris ended with this: "You are working for the same exact Jesus as you did before. Nothing that matters has changed. The surroundings might be different, but the goal is still the same, the task is still the same, the assignment's still the same. Nothing that matters has changed." And she was right. But truth be told, it takes us usually a little time to figure that out on our own. Can we trust God in a new situation? Can we trust God when so much is changing around us? You know, the world has changed so much in just the last 10 years, many more than other decades combined. Can we still trust God? Back in Exodus chapter 3, God is talking to Moses. In Exodus 3:6, God says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But I want to say it a little different way right now. To put it another way, the God of Abraham, is he our God too? The God of Isaac, is he our God too? The God of Jacob, is he our God too? And now the people here in Joshua chapter 1 have to answer this question. The God of Moses, is he our God too? Everyone must find that answer out to that question. Can we still trust God today with every aspect of our life? At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we've heard, what you've been told. We all have to figure that out ourselves. And the first few verses in Joshua definitely point us to some crucial points of answering this question of trusting God. So the first point is this. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in the past. Joshua 1 verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan River, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Moses served God with the time he had. And when his work was done, God took him. That's the natural order of things. No one lives forever here on this earth in their flesh bodies. Leaders must eventually go. People must eventually go so that others may rise up in Christ. We can't go back to the past no matter how much we desire it. We can't undo mistakes we've made no matter how much we pray about that. Now, regarding that, Christ does call us to repent, to ask for forgiveness, and when appropriate, try to reconcile. And it is okay to miss some of the God-honoring experiences of the past, but we must not miss the future because we're living in the past. We can't miss it. We can't live in the past, and we can't just stay here in the present. We must go forward, and the key is with God leading the way. The only way is to go forward. We can't stay where we are, but by God's grace, we can move forward one step at a time with God controlling that pace. He knows when you need to stand still and just be held by Him. And He knows when you have to take that baby step forward or when you have to take a big giant leap. He knows that pace. He will show us. Another point to trusting God is this. With God leading the way, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Verse 2 and 3 says this. Arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. God wanted his people to build a large nation. He promised a huge area if they would obey, if they'd move, and if they take it. And if they didn't occupy all the land that God had promised them, it wouldn't be God's fault. So what did the Israelites under Joshua's command, what did they have to do to start this promise out? Well, we see here in Scripture that they had to cross the Jordan River. But here's the real question. What was on the other side of that river? That's a twofold answer. The promised land was on the other side of that river. But you know what else was also on that other side? The enemy. We have the promised land and the enemy on the other side. And we have God here calling to the people and saying, don't stay in the wilderness any longer. Your future is somewhere else. You can't stay where you are because the plan's on the other side. I am calling you to move forward now. It's time to move. It's time to step. And what God said to the ancient Israelites back then, He says the same thing to us here and now. If we want to see God work, we must move forward by faith, knowing that as we go, the enemy waits for us there. The question is, will we have the courage to go forward anyway? Will we have the courage to go forward anyway, knowing that God is right there as well? And that's much more important. A third point to trusting God is to believe the promises. Believe the promises. Joshua 1:5 says this, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. The phrase, just as I have been with Moses, that's very, very important here. Because Joshua knew and witnessed how Moses was God's right-hand man for so many years. So let's go over this real quick here. Remember, Moses stood before the Egyptian Pharaoh and on God's behalf said, let my people go. And Moses kept asking that. And even with most of the plagues, Pharaoh kept saying no. And then finally, on that one terrible night, the death angel passed over the land. Only those with the blood of the lamb on the doorpost were spared. Only then did Pharaoh grudgingly let the people go. But lo and behold, as God's people were leaving, Pharaoh's army pursued them. And they became trapped at the Red Sea. Moses stretched out his staff. The waters parted. The people walked across the water on dry ground. And then later, we find that Moses went up to the mountain to talk to God face to face. He came down with the Ten Commandments. And what I'm trying to get at here is this. Miracle after miracle happened while Moses was alive and leading. For 40 years, the Israelites' shoes never wore out. For 40 years, the Israelites never ran out of food. For 40 years, the Israelites never lost a battle. 40 years. Moses was the man God used to accomplish this. And now Moses is dead. So will God be with Joshua the same way He was with Moses? The answer is yes. Why? Because God said, I will never, ever leave you. What an incredible and what a wonderful promise that is from God. God is good every single time in every single situation, no matter what. Have faith in that. Even when we don't know the whole story, even though we can't always see that. And that's the main point. That's the main point of promise in Joshua chapter 1. It's not a promise of an easy road. It's not a promise of a life with no challenges and having unlimited victory. It's not a promise of no tears and no loss. And no heartache. Joshua is a book of battles. Joshua is a book of war. There's the sound of fighting in the pages of Joshua. So God's telling Joshua and God's telling all the people, you've got to fight the good fight for the promises I am giving you. You got to fight, but I will never leave you and I will be with you every step of the way. How comforting that is for all of us now. That's His promise. The key is when we're following Him. Finally, in trusting God, choose the hard road of obedience. Choose the hard road of obedience. So now in the text, we come to some very familiar words to many of us. For me personally, these are words that are some of the most cherished in all of Scripture. Let's look at Joshua 1, starting with verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right. Do not turn from it to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now on the verse 9 here, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Three times. And I would imagine Joshua felt overwhelmed at the thought of taking this leadership over. And God, knowing Joshua's doubts, tells him, do not be afraid, because every time and everywhere I'm going to be right there with you. Now, if you notice, God does remind Joshua, and He reminds all the people to carefully follow all the law that had been given them. God tells them to know His Word. God tells them to talk about His Word. God tells them to meditate on His Word. And God tells them to obey His Word. And I got to tell all of us something. Unless we are consciously surrendering our will, our desires, our time to do these things here, we're going to find reasons not to do them. No one drifts away by accident. We may think that it was just by accident or by some circumstance, but I'm convinced it's not. No one becomes Christ-like without a daily surrender. And this daily surrender, it's not supposed to be some drudgery. It's not supposed to be some heavy burden to do that each day, each morning. It's really about a peace that surpasses all understanding that we can even do this. It's the Holy Spirit. So, no matter what doubts try to destroy our confidence, no matter what obstacles surround us, no matter what fears freeze us in our steps, no matter how high the walls are that hit us, God promises His peace and God promises His joy when we believe His promises and we allow Him to do these things through us. God's word tells us that what Joshua did, any of us can do. If we are willing and 100% completely willing to step out in faith. With God guiding us, with God directing us, we can move forward. We can trust. We can believe. And we can obey. And we're going to be studying this book of Joshua for the next 2 months here on Sundays, because there's so much more to this courageous story in Joshua. Here's what the late Billy Graham said regarding courage. He said, courage is contagious. When a brave man or woman takes a stand, the spine of others are often stiffened. And in Joshua 1, we find that we are to have courage. We are commanded as believers to have courage. Moses is dead, but God is alive. And now, it is next person up. I am the next person up. You are the next person up. We are all the next person up. Let's stand in Christ and let's be courageous on the steps that He's taking us, wanting us to take in our faith journey. Let's be strong and courageous. It's time for us to take the next step. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we may try, but we cannot live in the past. Lord, it does not work. That is not your way. That is not your plan. Lord, thank you for the God-honoring things of the past. And Lord, that can encourage us. But we can't just stay put and live in the past. Lord, we cannot even just stay where we're at right now in the present. Lord, you want us to continue just to be obedient, to let go, and have the Holy Spirit lead us where we're supposed to go. Thank you, Lord, for setting that pace for us. Lord, let us not get in the way of that. Let us not speed it up. Lord, forgive us for the times we do that. But so often, Lord, we just want to stay comfortable where we're at. Change is scary. Lord, I pray that we let go and we do trust you. We can trust you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you for not changing. Thank you that your promises all that time ago still are just as true today and tomorrow and in the future. We praise you for that, Lord. Lord, give us strength. Lord, thank you for letting us be strong and courageous, and let us just hold on to that and not let go. I just pray these things, Lord, in your precious and holy name. Amen. Hey, real quick, talking about next person up here, I want to give you a little bit of information on the church plant. So I think there's some pictures up here. There we go. So that is actually the picture of the Oregon Church. That is on 5th Street. That's right by the Oregon Courthouse and by the new jail they're putting up. So that's the church that we are in negotiations with right now. That's the First Presbyterian Church of Oregon presently. And as we talked about last week, our leadership team met this past Monday. We talked for a few hours about this, and we decided to proceed to continue to go for this church. So we put in a preliminary offer, pending our congregational vote. So right now, the offer's in their hands, and at the end of the month, they are going to take it to their congregation and vote on it. So we will know at the end of the month if they accept it or if they reject the offer. So we've done everything we can at this moment. If they accept it, then what we're planning on doing is having an open house, probably sometime the first week or two of February. And then near the end of February, we'd have our congregational vote here at New Hope Fellowship. So this is something that we don't want to procrastinate on, but we don't want to move too quick here. We want to definitely make sure we allow time for people to see the church if they would like. We're also going to have some more pictures up here in the coming weeks in case you're not able to go out to Oregon. And then, like I said, in about a month and a half, we'll actually vote on it. And all that is pending if they accept their offer at the end of this month. So we'll see what happens. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and we don't want to just sit around and do nothing. So what I'm asking again is for all of us to be praying, not only for us here at New Hope Fellowship, but for that congregation in Oregon as well, that we'd all have God's guidance for the next step to take. I think there's one more picture here. So here's the outside, and there's a picture of the sanctuary as well. So it's a very beautiful, it's an older building, but it's a very beautiful church on the inside. A lot of room, and we might be able to get a chance to see it here in a few weeks. We'll see what happens. So just continue to be praying about this. Thank you for coming out on this wintry day. Have a wonderful Sunday, and we'll see you during the week or definitely next Sunday. God bless.